Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Andrew Shatkin Blog Talk Radio Show on every evening, Monday through Friday and Saturdays and Sundays, usually about 8 o'clock, sometimes 6:30, sometimes 9:30, and at times even 11 o'clock. However, I'm very glad to have you listening to this show, and the show is generally concerned with literary subjects. I'm a great lover of English and American and French and Russian literature, and I revel in such great works of art as Milton's Paradise Lost and Tolstoy's Resurrection and War and Peace and Anna Karenina, to give some examples. And, of course, I read the great Christian authors such as C.S. Lewis, G.K. Chesterton, and T.S. Eliot, to give some examples, although I'm very enthused about Calvin, Luther, and Bonhoeffer in terms of my Christian reading. However, let me review about the background to this show and my background so you see where I'm coming from. This is a politically incorrect show. We are in for honor. We are concerned with honest thought, honest discernment, critical thinking, and we are not interested in media hype, media falsehoods, and political rhetoric, and frankly, political lies. I detest that kind of thinking. It wastes my time. The thinking I want to do and the books I want to read are the books I just mentioned to you, and those are the books that have value and will guide me in my life to where I want to go, hopefully, in the next life with Christ. Next, so it's a politically incorrect show, politically not politically correct. We don't adhere to political rhetoric, media lies, or that kind of thing. We're not interested in that. We're interested in honest thought and truth. Attaining those goals is done by reading great books, such as Milton's Paradise Lost, such as Tolstoy's War and Peace. Those are the books that will bring you to truth. As Mortimer Adler has had a very large book list of books, and his very great book, How to Read a Book, a fantastic book, I recommend it. He said, you want to read books that are going to stretch your mind and you do not wish to have a diet of images, which he described as drugs, which they are. People who build their thinking on images are being drugged with lies. Those of you who read these great books, which present difficulties, such as Moby Dick, such as War and Peace, such as Middlemarv, George of Eliot, your mind by these books is stretched and stretched. You want to read books that will stretch you to your intellectual limits. I run two radio shows, a podcast show and a blog talk radio show, and both have many, many international listeners. I've had over 4,000 people visit my podcast show. And I'm pleased to say that many of my dear Muslim brothers and sisters visit my Blog Talk radio show as well as the podcast show from Iran, Iraq, and most amazing from Saudi Arabia. Saudi Arabia listens to my Blog Talk radio show regularly. I see them tuning in on it, and I'm very happy. By the way, I had a friend, an Iranian philosophy student, who found great interest in my Christian books, which goes to show you these people are highly intelligent and open to thought, which they may not immediately be interested in, but they're willing to give it a chance, okay, which is the name of the game. If you're going to think, you got to give all kinds of thoughts an entree into your mind so your mind can develop and not be stymied in lies, media lies, essentially. Next, I have to tell you that I am a writer, and I've written 10 books, Christian books and legal books, Select Legal Topics, Volumes 1 and 2, and some Christian books such as a book on the parables of Jesus, a personal commentary, and I think that's a valuable book, because the parables are the words of the statements and words of this living God speaks to us in his holy word. In the New Testament, and I've written a book also on the Psalms, The Psalms are my inspiration. They drive me. They are my spiritual food. John Donne, the great Anglican poet, said of the Psalms, they were the manna of the church, and they are. To read the Psalms is to be uplifted spiritually, intellectually, and in a literary sense. The Psalms are lyric poetry. They are the Hebrew lyric poetry of the past. And in whatever translation they're in, they come across, believe me, in their greatness and their spiritual message. I'm planning a book on the miracles in the Bible. I have in the works 3 books of my blogs, literary, religious, and political, 3 books which are in the works. I also am preparing a book on the, not only on the miracles of the Bible, but on the book of Job. I hope that you will find it interesting. I find the book of Job fascinating, stimulating, and these are the books that I depend on to stretch my mind. Job was not Jewish, but he had the trials and temptations lodged on him, and that's what the book is about. It's in the form of a Greek tragedy, and he probably had a Greek influence in the book. Next, I have written 3 journal articles on the Syracuse Law Review, on criminal procedure, and on 2 academicus articles in Albanian Scientific Journal on the United States educational system and sexual orientation discrimination. And the 2 of the Albanian Scientific Journals have been bought by the State Department, and the Syracuse Law Review has been bought by the State Department and the United States Supreme Court. Both have been bought by many, many libraries in the United States and in Europe and in Africa and Asia, et cetera. A very large number of institutions have bought these journal articles. Now, I want to talk about, as I say, I wrote this book on the parables, and parables have an inexhaustible intellectual message, because you have to remember the parables, every word in the Bible where Jesus speaks is the mind of God communicating. It is God speaking to us in his holy word. And therefore, the parables are Jesus' statements, and they are sort of warnings, in a sense. And I'd like to talk about one of them tonight. It's called the parable of going before the judge. Give me a minute, and I'll find it to talk about it, okay? Find the parable, my interpretation of this parable, in chapter 7 of the book. And the parable is found in Matthew 5, 25 and 26, Luke 12, 57 to 59. Matthew says in the parable, make friends quickly with your accuser while you are going with him in court, lest your accuser hand you over to the judge and the judge to the guard, and you be put in prison. Truly, I say to you, you will never get out till you have paid the last penny. And in Luke, he says, and why do you not judge for yourself what is right? As you go on with your accuser before the magistrate, make an effort to settle with him on the way, lest he drag you to the judge, and the judge hand you over to the officer, and the officer put you in prison. So what is this going on in this parable? The parable concerns going before the church. And in this parable, Jesus tells us that our lives will be judged. If we live righteously, we will be judged with righteousness and humanity. He tells us that if our lives have reached a crisis point, we should reach an agreement and be reconciled. If our lives, we have had differences, disputes, and moral issues, he tells us to be reconciled with our enemies, and even with those who have opposed us and possibly hurt us. The alternative is a judgment on us, he tells us. So if we trust in our own feelings and efforts about our lives, We do not reach an understanding and agreement with people who may oppose us and hurt us, and don't be reconciled with them, we may suffer at the hands of justice. He warns us not to wait until the last minute where there are issues concerning our possible condemnation. He suggests, he suggests reconciliation and forgiveness with our enemies. He tells us, unless we do this, we could face a total judgment on our actions that could be disastrous. He says we cannot trust in our own thoughts about ourselves and about the rightness of our position. He tells us here that as we live, we must be reconciled with all and forgive all for the injuries they have done us. And he says if we are not so reconciled and depend on our righteousness, our fate can be far worse than we can possibly anticipate. No one can face judgment. So really what he's saying here is that is that in our lives we should reach, and if we have reached a crisis point and have had differences and disputes and moral issues, we should reach an agreement and be reconciled with our enemies and even with those who have opposed us and hurt us. And then the alternative, he says, is a judgment on us, where he says here, you will never get out till you have paid the last penny. And so he's saying that if we don't do this, the alternative is this horrible judgment on us. And if we trust in our own feelings and efforts about our lives, and we don't reach an understanding and agreement with people who may oppose us and hurt us, and we don't be reconciled with them, we maybe suffer at the hands of justice. That's what he says here. He says, make an effort to settle with this person, lest he drag you to the judge, and the judge hand you over to the officer, and the officer put you in prison. I tell you, you'll never get out. You have paid the last penny. He says we should be reconciled, and lest we be handed over by our accuser to the judge, and the judge and the guard put us in prison, and we'll never get out till we pay the last penny. So the alternative is a judgment on us, he tells us, unless we're reconciled to our accuser. We trust in our own feelings and efforts, and don't reach an understanding and agreement with people who may oppose us and hurt us, and are reconciled with them, we may suffer at the hands of justice. That's what he says. He says not to wait till the last moment with their issues concerning our possible wrongdoing. Don't wait till the last minute. He says, he advises us to be reconciled and forgive and seek forgiveness with our enemies and accusers. He says, unless we do this, we will face judgment that could be disastrous. He says, we cannot trust on our own thoughts about ourselves, our assuredness of our rightness. He says, as we live, we must be reconciled with all and forgive all for the injuries they have done us. And if we are not so reconciled and consider ourselves righteous, he says our fate can be far worse than we can anticipate. We would have to face judgment, and none of us can stand before the judge. He really is telling us that as we live our lives, we must yield in love to all, not holding grudges, but seeking love and friendship even with our enemies. And certainly, he says in Luke, that we are shortly in our lives to appear before the judge, and unless we reach a state of love and forgiveness of all, the result could be judgment. The alternative, as Luke suggests, is a condemnation before the judge and imprisonment. Both Matthew and Luke in this parable warn us that as we live our lives, we must live our lives with an accommodation, an understanding and forgiveness of all who may injure us, including our accusers. And if we don't live our lives, we will be subject to the same treatment we have afforded others as we have lived in the course of our life. If we have lived with others without reconciliation, love, and forgiveness, we will be handed over to the judge, and there be no hope. Really, the point is that he tells us we have to live our lives in love and reconciliation and forgiveness to those around us. And if we don't do this, we will face a judgment by the judge and may be handed over, and there may be no hope. You'll find this parable, I think, I think I've explained it fairly clearly in the parable of going before the judge, Matthew 5:25-26, and Luke 12:57-59. It's on pages 40, 21, and 22 of the book, chapter 7. Again, I think the interpretation is that in our lives, we must live our life. We will be, if we live righteously, we will be judged righteously. Jesus tells us that if our lives have reached a crisis point, we should reach agreement and be reconciled when there are differences and disputes and moral issues. He tells us to be reconciled with our enemies and even with those who oppose and hurt us. And the alternative is being handed over to the judge and there being a judgment on us. He says if we trust on our own feeling and efforts and don't reach an understanding and agreement with people who may oppose us and hurt us, we may be suffer at that great suffering at the hands of the judge and justice. He tells us don't wait till the last minute with their issues concerning our condemnation and wrongdoing. He suggests always reconciliation and forgiveness with our enemies. He says unless we do this, we will face a judgment on our actions that could be disastrous. He says we cannot trust in our own thoughts about ourselves and our righteousness. He says as we live our lives, we must be reconciled with all and forgive all for the injuries they have done us. And if we are not so reconciled, we and depend on our righteousness and the supposed rightness of our position, our fate can be far worse than one can anticipate. No one can face judgment. Jesus says we will face judgment unless we are reconciled and forgive all who have hurt us and opposed us. He's really saying that as we live our lives, we should yield in love to all, not holding grudges, but seeking love and friendship, even with our enemies. Certainly, he says in Luke that when we have reached the last moment of our lives, we will be judged, and that we are shortly in our lives to appear before the judge. Unless we reach a state of love and forgiveness of all, there could be condemnation and imprisonment before the judge. Both Matthew and Luke in this parable warn us that as we live our lives, we must live our lives with an accommodation of all, understanding of all, and forgiveness of all who may injure us, including our accusers. If we do not so live our lives, we will be subject to the same treatment we have afforded others as we have lived in the course of our lives. If we have lived with others without forgiveness, without reconciliation and love, we will be handed over to the judge, and there may be no hope. You can obtain this interpreted this parable in my book, The Parables of Jesus, A Personal Commentary. I think that the parables are, as I say, every word of Jesus is like, to me, is like gold. It is golden. It is irreplaceable. We cannot even attain maybe to an understanding of what he's saying. We can only attempt it. And I suggest you read this parable and read my book, Chapter 7 of the Interpretation of this Parable. Think about it, reflect on it, and remember the words of Jesus cannot be reflected on and thought about more than we are given. I hope you've enjoyed this broadcast, and I'll be speaking again tomorrow about another parable. Thank you.